Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is now 9:23 here at WCCO. Welcome back to the Corey Hepler Show. I'm your host this morning, filling in, Geralyn Steele. Now, Jack Rice is joining us. He is the former prosecutor and criminal defense attorney, and he's joining me on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. How you doing, Jack?
It's great to be with you again, Geralyn.
It's great to hear your voice, sir. And, of course, I want you to put on these two hats that we just said, former prosecutor and criminal defense attorney, because you wear a lot of hats. And as you look at what's going on today, what is your sense right now? Where are we going?
Well, it breaks my heart in the first place. I mean, I live about 12 blocks exactly from where Mr. Floyd was killed. And so if we look at where we are right now, it's this. The Hennepin County attorney, Mike Freeman, made the decision to charge out the third-degree murder and the manslaughter charge. And specifically, there was a medical examiner's report that came out. But the family came back with a different report, with another independent autopsy, which said something fundamentally different. Frankly, this will confuse the situation, make it a bit harder for the prosecutor in some ways, but make it easier in some ways, and harder for the defense on the other side of this case. But what's interesting that has changed as of Sunday night, Keith Ellison, former congressman, attorney general, has stepped in this case. Essentially, they're going to lead the prosecution. I actually think this is a great thing. I think it's important that what we have is a really independent investigation, that we have a very close look at what's going on. And so we know what's happening on the criminal side. Now, there's an additional piece to this, Geralyn. And what that has to do with is the Human Rights Department is now looking at the issue of what actually is going on, because this is what I think is missed. Sometimes people are saying that people are out in the street because of George Floyd, and they are, and they should be. But it's about something bigger and broader, because there is historic, consistent, and systematic problems inside of the department, as we have seen all over the country. And what we're seeing is so many people who are addressing and trying to face issues that they've seen before, that they've heard before, that they have felt before. And so what they want to see is they want to see something else. It's not just about trying to call this man one bad apple and then we all move forward. Because if that were the case, it doesn't explain the bad apple after the bad apple after the bad apple.
Exactly. Tell me about the charge. What do you think about this charge? There's been a lot of talk about third degree versus second degree versus first degree.
Well, when I looked at this, honestly, and I have a copy of the complaint, And I watched the video, too, and I stood in the street afterward and where this man fell, where this man was put to the ground, where this man was shackled face down as this officer had his knee on his neck for some 8 minutes. And as the life was spilling out of him. And what I thought to myself was, at minimum, second degree. Not a third-degree charge, a second-degree charge with intent, an intentional second-degree murder charge. If we went to a first degree, the problem is that you need something called premeditation. This was your intent. This is what you were doing, but just sort of this was your plan. Now, what the family talked about was the possibility that when this officer shifted his knee a certain way and pushed down even harder on the neck of Mr. Floyd as he was dying, that in itself shows premeditation. And the problem
exactly
is it's a very high standard. My fear is this, Geraldine, and I think about this because I've stood in front of so many juries myself, and I've talked about this issue, especially in light of situation after situation, death after death, when nothing happens to officers. And what happens is that I think juries regularly want to believe that police officers are the good guys. And so they cut them slack. They cut them loose when, in fact, they should be treated like everybody else. It's not a race question when it comes to that issue. What it is about fairness and equality and justice. And so this is going to be a heavy lift, but it's a lift that we need to have, not just in Minneapolis, but nationwide, but heck, worldwide. There's a reason that George Floyd's name is being chanted in the streets of Berlin, as well as Brooklyn Park.
All right, we only have a couple minutes left, and I want to know if everything turns out the way the protesters want it to turn out, where this man is convicted and put in prison, right, and that the other officers are being charged as well. If it comes to that, then where do we go from here? It's one officer or maybe four officers, but we all know that this is a worldwide problem, but here in the United States, it's a gigantic problem. So where do we go from here?
Carolyn, this
if
is not
we get
just,
what we need.
Yeah, this is not just about having a trial and whether or not a jury is going to convict this man or these three other officers, too. It's not. This is about something much bigger than that. There needs to be a closer look at the policing and the procedures of the officers in Minneapolis, honestly, statewide, because I practiced in the Twin Cities and I've been watching this for decades. And as so many of us have, but there's a question of ongoing training. There's a question of sort of systemic problems when it comes.
We
to
talk about
issue.
That all the time, though, Jack.
Oh,
that is
I
the problem that comes. That's the point that comes up every time, and
absolutely.
Nothing is being done. Just like who's been released from the hospital, who's been released from this, the man in the truck, the man, you know, in the fuel truck, the man in the car. We can talk about the people that already we think should be, you know, sitting somewhere in jail, and they're not. They're out roaming around. I don't know why. But they're out. So as we keep hearing about the systemic injustices, we've heard it all before. But what really should be next?
Well, you know what? Here is a perfect example. And this is one little tiny piece. This is how the police addressed this issue in the very beginning. What they said was they pulled Mr. Floyd out of the car. And then what happened was he physically resisted. So they handcuffed him and put him to the ground. He was then in medical distress. That's how they described it from the beginning. Okay. And then what happens is we only find out after the fact from all of these videos from people standing on the street as independent witnesses who see what actually happened. Now, how many hundreds or thousands of times have we seen in history where this has happened when there weren't videos and the police say that same thing and everybody wipes their hands and say, we're all good to go? Well, see, there is a question right there. You want something specific? Here's one thing specific. If there's a child who walks into a school and has bruises on their face, a teacher is a mandatory reporter. If a woman is abused and walks into a hospital, doctors are mandatory reporters. Nurses are mandatory reporters. They have to pick up the phone. What happens if police officers are mandatory reporters where they see one of their own who actually does something and you say, bam, you can't have that? And it's about more than just saying, you know what, the blue code of silence, let's make sure we take care of our own. This can't be a siege mentality that you're seeing from the police anymore. And so this issue has to be rooted out much, much deeper than the question of let's just arrest a couple of guys and then we're all good to go.
When that happens, you call me, okay?
Amen, sister. I'll tell you what, I'm with you on this one. This is something that needs to be done, and it can't just be the trite lines that we roll out because we've rolled them out so many times. This needs to be a fundamental reorganizational structure. Part of it can't simply be a situation where the Minneapolis Police Union has so much power that they can control what the police are doing, control exactly who gets elected into office, so you have people going on their knees to them saying, please support me so I will make sure that I'm going to be your guy in the mayor's office or somewhere else on the city council. We can't have that anymore. This is not a black or white question. This is a Minnesota question, an American question.
I wish I had a half an hour with you. I have so much to say in response to what you just said. So I'm just absolutely going to have you on Sunday night. Thank you so much for joining us, Jack. If you're available, we're definitely going to give you a call.
Always.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.